Democracy That Delivers is brought to you by the Center for International Private Enterprise. And now to your host, Ken Jakes.
Hi, everyone. This is Ken Jakes. I'm the host of Democracy That Delivers, our weekly podcast here at SITE. And I'm joined in studio by Azia Bande.
For the last 2 years, I'm working in this economic, local economic development, the urban economies, in these areas where my heart lies and where I'm working.
So where did you find that interest in the local economies and in the smaller cities? And let's get into that just a little bit. And the size of the cities that you really focus on. And I think you mentioned before the program, any city that's 3.2 million people and below, correct?
Okay. Let me explain a bit about Pakistan so
sure.
that the people have a context also
sure.
what we are talking about. Pakistan has a population of 207 million. Okay. It's the sixth largest country.
It's a large country.
It's a large country. And as per official, the last census we have, 2017, we have an urban population of 36.4%, which converts into 75.5 million people. Okay. Pakistan has about 97 cities, which has a population of around 100,000 and above. Obviously, there are a lot, many independent researchers
sure.
and working who are saying that this is underestimated population. Pakistan has to be, as far as the urban footprint is concerned, Pakistan should not be less than 60% urbanized.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you ignore that part also, Pakistan is the fastest growing urban country in the region, which is South Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one part which we are talking about. And second thing, as far as our focus of work, so what we are working on basically agglomeration advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan is not a very rich country. I mean to say there you need a scale of a higher population. For example, in US, which is a high income country, so you can reach that scale at a smaller population.
Right.
So for Pakistan, what we have done, we have basically taken out the large cities, which are two large cities in Pakistan, Karachi and Lahore, which has a population of over 10 million.
Okay.
And we have started working on a second tier cities. So what we have benchmarked, okay, let's have a cutoff at a million city and above.
Mm-hmm.
So in that range, we have cities which have a population from 3.2 million to mm-hmm. a million. So we are working with these cities.
Those cities.
These eight cities, and out of that eight cities, we have taken out Islamabad because the federal capital.
Right.
So we are working more onto the provincial cities.
Right.
But that is where the action is also. There is where you don't have a lot of fault lines. I mean, so we are talking about advantages in a smaller city to work. And you don't have a lot of resistance out there.
Right.
So the people are more, I mean to say, amicable. They are more tuned towards new things because they are hungry for it.
Right.
Because their cities are ignored
mm-hmm.
by the mainstream establishment, all the political elite.
Right.
So we are basically pushing these cities so that we can have some successful pilot models in local economic development.
So what are some of the challenges that you see that differ from, say, the larger cities and the cities that you're targeting?
Okay. First of all, it's not only the small city, even the large cities also. People have no clue
mm-hmm.
in exactly this, what's the purpose of the city. When we were doing this project with the different cities, we did ask the mayors, we did ask the president of the chambers of the city.
Mm-hmm.
We put them a question, a simple question. What is the economic vision of your city?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to achieve in 5 years or 10 years down the road? They were taken aback. I mean, so they don't know.
They just don't
they
know.
They know that we are supposed to do this thing also.
Right.
The businessman, they are more...
Did you find that surprising?
No, not at
not
all.
Really?
Not at all. Because we know that this sort of an answer we are going to get from them.
Yeah.
Because if there was any vision, it would have been a public knowledge.
Yeah, and you found that throughout the whole country.
Throughout the whole country. I have been to 11 cities,
yeah.
large cities we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a million population. And surprisingly, nowhere we got this answer.
For our listeners, why do you think that is? What really drives that?
Okay. The point
that
is
lack of vision.
Yeah. The point is this, that Pakistan has been run in a more centralized manner.
Okay.
It's a large country.
So they're waiting for clues coming from Islamabad.
From Islamabad or the right. provincial capitals, they are coming. So it means the cities...
They're reactionary.
Yes. The cities don't have that autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And we explain to the cities also and to the people also, people are not going to give you power in the plate that come and start doing the work. You have to do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
a very interesting part. I'm sitting with the mayor of Hyderabad or Karachi, and we were talking to them and saying that, why you're not doing certain things? Or he say, you get me the money, I will do it. No, I'm a think tank. Suppose yeah. I'm going to get. Okay, look, man, that's what we are trying to explain to them. You don't have to first talk about the money. First, talk about
what you need,
what you are going to change in
yes.
the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are not talking about the routine things that I want to clean the roads. I need money for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's secondary. Why you need to clean the roads? Till that time, the city is making money. Okay, city is creating economic activities. Then you create a case that I am supporting the economic activities. I am supporting business retentions. I am supporting business expansion.
Mm-hmm.
I need money so that I can create more jobs here. I can.
That's the whole point right there.
That's
job creation.
Yeah.
It's a simple answer.
Simple answer. No, if you're not thinking like that, then there is no economic vision.
Right. Everything kind of falls from
this
that.
The only thing is this, that I need money.
Right.
Man, for what?
I always tell the story. I did a lot of consulting work before I came to Sipe in Eastern Europe. And I would always do a benchmark survey when I go into a different country, whether it be Georgia, Ukraine, Serbia, wherever. And I would ask a series of questions for the general public. And you know what the number one answer was in every single country? I want a job. Plain and simple.
Okay.
And secondary, I want a job to take care of my family so I can take a vacation. And those are worldwide needs, wherever. And it comes down to that simple premise, is how can I create jobs for my community? And I think that's really what your organization is really trying to get at.
Actually, that's what I'm telling them, that Mr. Imran Khan, which has come into the power, and he has a vision that you have to create 10 million jobs.
Right.
Now, I'm talking to these people, and I'm telling them, are you going to create jobs from Islamabad?
Yeah.
These 10 million jobs are not created from Islamabad.
Talk about that a little bit. You were talking a little bit before the program.
Okay. So I did tell them these jobs are going to be created from these cities.
Yeah.
Why you need to have a central-based board of investment for investment promotion?
Mm-hmm.
I mean to say, I'm talking that somebody, some bureaucrat or some technocrat who's sitting in Islamabad, he's a better seller of a city like Multan, which is in the south, which has a population of 1.9 million. It is a center commercial hub of a South Punjab region. Okay, a place which has a population of about 50 million. I mean to say, somebody from Multan, who's the mayor or who's the president of the chamber, he's a better salesman of a city than some bureaucrat who's sitting in Islamabad.
Right.
He's the man who should be going out, selling his cities, bringing jobs, bringing investment out to his cities. Now, that sort of a thinking we want to inculcate in Pakistan. And for that, we are working.
So how are you working with the private sector to make this happen?
Okay.
How are the interaction between the private sector and the local governing bodies working? What is your role in that?
Okay. Look, I just have to give, again, a context.
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
So we started with the cities. We started working with the Metropolitan Comparative Index. Initially, we started with that. We basically created on three pillars, like their economic dynamism, their infrastructure efficiency, and their livability aspects. These were the three pillars, 37 indicators. They were from the secondary government sources. We ranked about 11 cities on it. Okay. That gives basically us a space working in these cities with their stakeholders. Eventually, what we have done now, that we have taken two main stakeholders on board. One is the municipality, second is the Chamber of Commerce of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are creating economic development unit. We are in alliance with UN Habitat and UNDP onto that end also.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are working, we are developing these economic development unit. These economic development unit will be supported by the municipality, obviously funded by some of the organizations. And they are going to create the economic development vision of the city, their strategy of the city, they're working. We are the convener.
Right.
Our role is a convener. We are saying you are the one who owns the city. You know the city better than us. We will basically articulate your things because
you're
helping
them put together a blueprint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a time for this and you don't have the capacity.
Right.
But you're going to endorse us. Once you have that economic development strategy made out of the city, which is owned by the chamber, which is owned by the municipality, it makes your life easy.
Right.
For the funding, for the support from the provincial government, or even from the federal government. So our approach is a bottom-up approach. We are going from the bottom. We are not even looking at the federal government or at the provincial government. We say that if you want to entrench democracy, democracy is meaningless in a country if you have a top-down approach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to say, what's the difference between the elite who's sitting as a civilian election after contesting the election and the military dictatorship? Both are not tuned to give power on the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that the grassroots person, he's running pillar to post to get his things done.
Right.
Which should be a routine thing in any decent country.
Right.
And the reason is that centralization. So our push that democracy cannot be sustainable in Pakistan if you have the same top-down approach. We have politicians who claim to represent the public's voice and all that, but we are saying all these politicians are negotiating with the military to come into the power. So what sort of a democracy we have right now here?
Right.
I mean to say, you can have this democracy next 20 years, it will be the same stuff, because these politicians are not trying to, I mean, so devolve things. The good thing which has happened, which is doing by Mr. Imran Khan, is the recent party, in their election manifesto, they basically promised this. This was an electoral promise that we are going to have a direct elections of mayors in Pakistan. We are going to empower these local government, and they're doing it also.
Right.
It's not perfect. There is a lot of room of improvement. But what is important, that they are at least, and I mean to say that they also have their own political self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Imran Khan obviously want to work for his re-election, and he knows that his main opponent is Pakistan Muslim League, and they have that patronage network into the province and everything. So he is trying to use this. Now, as a think tanker, we are opportunistic. So we know that without political maneuvering, you cannot go for that.
Right.
So we are getting this small space, and we are pushing this agenda so that more civic engagement can take place on the city level. And civic engagement, because we are pushing even the president of the chambers that you stand for the elections of mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you? You know the city better than anybody else.
Yeah.
So what?
What kind of response are you getting from that?
They're taken aback.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, this is something new for them.
Yes.
Also, that there's examples in the world. The business leaders are coming and
yeah.
becoming mayors of the city. I mean to say that you will be in a better position to develop economically
mm-hmm.
the city. I mean to say, we are trying to push the debate into the system.
Yeah. It all starts with that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're working.
Yeah. To get back to some of the challenges that you face, you mentioned the biggest challenge was the lack of vision or that reactionary attitude because they're waiting for clues from the central government to kind of trickle down. And you're trying to take that opposite approach with the bottom up and create all of this change from within. So now that we've talked about that, what are some of these secondary challenges that you face? In particular, in job creation, is it corruption, which I'm sure is one of the top things, probably the tax structure, I would guess, bringing people out of the informal economy into the formal economy. So are these some of the types of issues that they're
okay.
talking about?
In Pakistan, the problem is this, that a lot of things
mm-hmm.
which we are talking about, especially in the cities, it's a very fragmented structure.
Mm-hmm.
You want to deliver also on the economic development or job creation
right.
side. So there are a lot many players in the city, which are basic, because this is a challenge for us.
Okay.
You have municipality, which is working. Then you have a development agency of the city, which is responsible for the master plan. It is run by the technocrats, okay, appointed civil servants by the government.
By the central government or by the municipalities?
By the provincial government.
Provincial government.
Provincial.
Okay.
Then you have commissionerate systems, which is a British legacy. It's a bureaucrats
yep.
and all that. So you have utilities who are working. So it is no one master.
Right.
The
you have all of
there.
These built-in bureaucracies.
And they all are working in their silos. They're
okay.
not talking to each other.
They're not talking to each other.
Now, what is important for us, that if we are pushing it,
mm-hmm.
I mean to say that we, as a think tank, believe that municipality should be the focal place for working.
At. Okay.
The municipality, how can they take the space? They have to create the case for the devolution. They have to create a case for the devolution. Like if you look at the London City,
mm-hmm.
if you just look at the London City's economic development strategy, which has been made by Sadiq Khan, the recent mayor,
mm-hmm.
it's a 240-page document.
Mm-hmm.
They're covering every sector of London.
Yeah.
You don't make cities like that out of thin air.
Right.
That's what we are explaining to our people also.
Yeah.
man, you want to, you go to London and you say, oh, beautiful city and the lovely. You come into Washington, you say, oh, so walkable and everything. Mm-hmm. This is not done in thin air. These people have a clear economic vision there where they want to take the city.
Right.
They are looking for the inclusion.
But it's entrenched. It's part of the culture. And it's part of the political culture. So that's one of your challenges as well, is really trying to change the mindset and to change the way people think.
That's why we are telling people democracy is not just giving votes.
Right. It's what happens between elections.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not only giving votes. You are getting illiberal democracy.
Yeah.
And nobody is asking why we get it. Because these people's culture are like that. It's not the matter of culture. You create competition in the cities. I tell you, they will become liberal because they want money.
Yeah.
How Chinese become so rich?
Yeah.
Because I've lived in China and I've seen that system, how it works out. The issue in China is the cities have the autonomy. Mm-hmm. The cities were working. It's not Beijing which is controlling 1.3 billion people. It's a very decentralized authoritarianism. Mm-hmm. So even any democracy or even authoritarian system cannot run without decentralized system. Mm-hmm. You can talk about democracy with centralized system. You will not get democracy. You will get illiberal democracy.
Right.
You talk democracy with decentralized system, you will get liberal democracy.
Give some examples in the short time you've been there of some successes that you've seen, or at least on the right path toward a success.
Okay. In Pakistan, as I've told you, we've already signed with two cities the MOUs of developing their economic development unit. Mm-hmm. We are at the edge of signing with two more cities, which is Faisalabad and Gujranwala. Faisalabad has a population of 3.2 million, and Gujranwala has a population of 2 million. So we will be signing with these guys also. And we've already submitted our projects, which with the donors. Our first phase is to develop the economic development strategy. So we are having a three-phase thing, a three-phase project. It's a 3 years program, which we are working around. In the first phase, we have been doing this 6 months. Then we will be working on the design of LED initiatives. And third thing will be implementation. So we have a very clear methodology, and that methodology, which is based on international best practices in local economic development.
Okay.
So that's, we have done a lot of research. We are working a lot because it's action plus research. So that's what our motto is, that only research for the sake of research is not going to bring change.
Right.
You have to engage politically with people. You have to go for the civic participation. Then only you get the traction and you get the endorsement from those people.
Okay. So what did you do before you came to Prime? And you said you've been at it for about a year or so. And our partnership with Prime here at SIPE goes back many, many years.
Yeah. My background is basically I'm a naval officer, ex-naval
officer. Oh, okay.
Okay, I was from Navy. I took early retirement as a lieutenant commander.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the investment banking side.
Oh, okay.
I was doing investment banking. It's a very varied background which I have. And then I have started entrepreneurship. I have my own company and mm-hmm. I started working on the trading side. With the Prime, my association is since 2013 when it was formed. I was in their initial board also.
Oh, you were, okay.
In the initial board.
So you're there
so
from
as
the start.
I know about Prime also, and Hamad Siddiqui is a good friend.
Sure.
So this basically, I'd give you a very interesting how it all started.
Yeah.
And I and Hamad were sitting in Islamabad in an Iranian restaurant. I took him, it's a very famous Umar Khayyam. And we were having this dinner, a lovely dinner in that environment. And I did talk about the city thing with him about this before this metropolitan competitive mm-hmm. things.
So you're talking about the very same issues.
Yes, issues. So that was at that time, there was nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's, I'm talking about 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamas said, give me some pointers. So I just wrote on a tissue. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got the tissue and I just wrote those points.
The main points.
Main points. So Hamad did talk. The Sai people told to get some concept note.
Mm-hmm.
I prepared the concept note for them. And then there was no looking back.
Yeah.
I mean to say this started...
Because that's the type of work that we do all over the world, yeah.
This is the work which worked out like
yeah.
that. So this is my total background. So because I have a linkages within the system, I know the military side also, the civil side, the business side also. So it's not only that I have only one angle, which is a research angle, mm-hmm. and you have just working in that silo for the whole life. So yeah. I have a more practical approach towards problem solutions.
Well, that's an interesting question. What did you learn in your military background that really helps you now?
Now, the main thing in military is more of a military strategy, how mm-hmm. to work around the military strategy. You don't give up things.
Mm-hmm.
You are not given resources. So you have to make things.
You have to be very creative, innovative.
Exactly. Yeah, that is what the advantage of military is. They don't, the officers are supposed to create solutions. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest learning I have.
Okay.
The only throwback is this, that military doesn't, the people, they don't read. So they don't have that a bigger vision or bigger comprehension of how the real world works.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that it can work in a very...
They're in their own side.
They can work in a very limited environment.
Yeah.
Obviously, that is their advantage. But when you're looking at a bigger, for example, you want to work on the city, or the, then there are a lot many other stakeholders which are engaged. So for me, the biggest takeaway from the Navy is the thing of that naval strategy. Because I've been going onto the ships, I've been going into the... Mm-hmm. naval exercises, so we know how tense it is, how difficult things are. So that pressure thing comes from the military side.
I see.
And on the civil side is basically that comprehension of the real world, how it works. So I am fortunate enough to work in the two environments, and I left Navy early. So I didn't become a totally part of it, but I had a very good memories and very good time at Navy and learning also.
Where are you from originally? What part of the country?
I'm originally from Karachi.
Okay.
I was born in, it's the biggest city.
Biggest city. That's interesting because you come from the biggest city, but yet your passion right now is with the smaller municipalities.
It's a practical consideration. Yeah, it's a practical consideration because that is what important. You're not fixated with things.
Right.
You're fixated with action, which is, because that's what we have a discussion right now. Mm-hmm. But what can be done?
To make the country a better
place.
Yeah.
It's not what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
What can be done? So I have worked out things, and because I've been going into the cities, and then I understand there is a space where I can work around. It's nothing like that, that I just sit at the table and open my laptop and decided to do that. It's a practical exposure which I have with those people.
Sounds like you enjoy it.
Yeah. So when you have that practical exposure, then can you decide it that, okay, this is my target market. This is my target segment where I want to work.
What kind of reception are you getting? You mentioned a while ago that the first thing, people are taken aback because this is a new way of thinking. So once they get over that, what are they really thinking?
Okay, I tell you very frankly, we have recently done a City Vision conference, and I was able to collect mayors or administrators and chambers president from 10 largest cities of the country. And those people, they came to Islamabad. And in Islamabad, they came and we have done in half a day workshop on best practices in local economic development. It was basically conducted by Dr. Maris Winter, who is a director of Center of Local Economic Development in University of Johannesburg, South Africa. So he was doing it on Skype.
Oh, okay.
And he was, because his visa got late, so he couldn't come.
So he couldn't come.
But he said that, no, we have got so many people here. They're coming from around the country. You have to do this workshop. And he was kind enough to do it on Skype with us.
So he had the big screen.
And that he was able to do it.
Yeah.
So that was, that's my military mindset now.
Yeah.
That you make the things work, man. Yeah. If
he couldn't come, you fix it so he is there.
I am getting people. Now, this visa problem there, what can I do? Should I throw the towel? No, you don't throw a towel. You just fit yourself and make that happen.
Yeah.
That is go-getter approach we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because of that go-getter approach, we are getting. Because do you think it's easy for a mayor to sign an MOU with a small think tank like me?
Yeah, no.
Just think about it.
It's a big risk.
It's a big thing. They're lending their name to me.
Yeah.
The UNDP is lending their name.
Yeah.
I'm able to sign an MOU. I'm becoming a technical partner with University of Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Why they're lending their name to me?
Yeah.
I am becoming a technical partner to Urban Unit in Pakistan, which is the biggest urban knowledge organization. It has over 450 people. Okay. They have got urban planners, they have got cartographers, they have got economists who are working here. And these people are working. Why? Because we offer agility as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
This agility is absent, and those people at the top, they know that.
Right.
That if they tell somebody to do it within their organization, it's going to take months.
Yeah.
You got my point?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not stupid. They're rational.
Yeah.
Why they are working with us? They're seeing something in us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're working now. And I mean to say, and for that, we are thankful to SAIP. They supported to my idea.
Mm-hmm.
And now that idea is taking its own life.
That sounds great. That sounds great. We're about out of time, and I want to find out if you're an optimist or a pessimist. I think I know the answer already, just based on the last 25 minutes.
Yeah. I was just talking, because these guys were talking, and they were talking all the ills in Pakistan because of this military hegemonic role in Pakistan and all that stuff. He said, why you are even talking about... Military is a 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Okay? Right.
You have to live with it. Simple as that.
Yeah.
It's not that you wish it away and it will go.
It's there.
That last 70 years is there, is not going to go next 70 years. What is important for us to do? Let's take the game down.
Yeah.
Think strategically.
Yeah.
Okay. Military is not going to resist you on that end because you're not challenging their federal level.
No. Regime. And if you benefit the establishment in
exactly.
the long run.
Exactly. So what is important for us? If I say that I want to do economic development, military is not going to oppose
me. It's a win-win.
Exactly. And I'm going for the civic participation also. It means I am strengthening democracy at the lower end.
Right.
I am not interested that I have to support it by some mainstream parties. You got my point?
Yeah.
We will have citizen platforms emerging from the from these cities. These are the people who will be a political upward mobile. These mayors are going to become tomorrow the chief ministers, the prime minister of this country. That is my vision for the country.
You're answering my question, because so I was going to ask, where do you see all of this in 5 years? And I think you spoke very articulately on how you see that coming out. So. Yeah. So
because look, this has happened in other countries also.
Right.
Look at Indonesia. Joko Widodo. Mm-hmm. He was the mayor of Surakarta.
That's true.
A city of 0.9 million people.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at, in these French presidents. Mm-hmm. They were the mayors of the cities also.
Yeah.
You give a lot of examples. In South Africa, Ellen Zille, she was the mayor of Cape Town. Then she became a premier.
Yeah.
Okay. In China, Xi Jinping, he was the secretary of Shanghai.
Yeah.
Everybody has come. There are many people. Even Tayyip Erdogan, not a very good example, but he was the mayor of Istanbul.
Yeah.
And he came up. And Europe, you have a lot of examples. People are coming from that side. In Brazil, you have people who are running for the governors as a mayor, ex-mayors. So it means that first, you learn the tricks of the trade on the local level.
Yes.
Then you move up that ladder.
For those listeners who are a student of American history, and you probably know this as well, but a former Speaker of the House here, Tip O'Neill from Massachusetts, used to say all politics is local. And that's exactly what you're saying here. And it's a good lesson, I think, moving forward. So any last comments before we get out?
No, we just want to learn from each other. Whatever we are doing, we owe this credit to all those people in the world who has worked for the cities. Simple as that. I'm their humble student.
Yeah.
For me, American is a model, South Africa, Indonesia. There's so many things we have to learn from each other.
Yeah.
So the more we think about the differences, the more similarities we find.
I completely agree with that. So thanks so much for coming by, and we'll see everybody next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Democracy That Delivers. For more information about the Center for International Private Enterprise, please go to our website at cipe.org. That's CIPE.org. Thanks for listening.